Good evening, Claire. What we're going to talk about tonight is concerning two of Aaron's sons. Aaron had four sons, but we're going to talk about two of them tonight in the 10th chapter of the book of Leviticus. And this lesson is going to be talking about strange fire. You may have heard me make mention of that phrase, strange fire. But that's exactly what Aaron's two sons did, Nadab and Abihu. They offered strange fire before the Lord, fire that the Lord didn't recognize. And you don't ever want to offer God something he doesn't recognize. What does that mean? Offer him something he never ordered. And we're going to take this lesson from the beginning of verse 1 in Leviticus 10. And we're going to do quite a bit of reading because I want to share some light on the severity of this mistake that these two boys made. And the reason why I talk about the severity of it, because they lost their lives behind it. Not only, we're not talking about spiritual lives, but they lost their physical life. They died behind this error, this mistake. Now, sometimes war unto you. Why I say war unto you? Sometimes God uses people as examples. I don't want to be one of those examples. I want to learn from somebody else that made a mistake. What about you? And so that's why in ministry, you got to pay close attention to the right thing that people do and also the wrong thing that people do. And you say, I don't want to do that because you want to escape much you can in spiritual things and be quick learners. Be quick to learn. Don't be dull of seeing. That's what I'm talking about, seeing spiritually. Don't be dull of hearing. I'm talking about hearing spiritually. Because God said things supernaturally, and you got to have ears to hear it. You got to have eyes to see it, to catch these spiritual things. Because it might cost you your life. Well, whatsoever it'll cost you, whether your spiritual life or physical life. Amen? Now, let's start at the first verse, Leviticus 10. And it said, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered, underline these two words, and offered strange fire before the Lord. And God defines strange fire for us, so we have no doubt what he's talking about, which he commanded them not. In other words, he offered. They made an offering that the Lord didn't offer. And there went out from the Lord, and there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now that's a very powerful example that these two young men experienced by doing something that God had not told them to do. Now let's flip this into where we are. Now sometimes people get zealous and want to do a lot of things in ministry. And if you don't be careful, you might be doing something God never commanded you to do. See, because when you're under authority, you have two authorities, really. You have to be obedient to God, but you also have to be obedient to God's representative authority, those whom you're serving under. And so Aaron's son made a move that their father didn't make. So if Moses didn't make a move, they should not have made a move because they were under his authority. And sometimes people get under other men's authority and they do things that they have no order to do. And we call that strange fire. So you got to be very careful working under authority, because strange fire sometimes causes debt. Whether it's physical debt or shorten your ministry spiritually, or whatever the case, it can shortcut, I almost say short circuit your ministry. And that's a mighty powerful thing to get your ministry short circuit. I got a few notes I need to read off of because these boys here, their mistake is more powerful than what you see we read in the scriptures here. And to make that plain, to make what happened real plain, I want to do some reading. I got to do a lot of reading in the 8th chapter of Leviticus. We don't read Leviticus a whole lot. It's not one of the most familiar or popular books of the Bible, but it all talks about when God brought his covenant into the earth realm and they began to offer sacrifices before God according to his own order. That was their connection. That was Jesus replaced, the offering of bulls and goats and rams to remove sin and to replace sin, an offering for sin, peace offering. They had all kind of offerings they offered before the Lord. And the book of Leviticus is where God showed them his covenant of sacrifice. Now, are you in the 8th chapter of Leviticus yet? I'm going to read a little bit, and I want you to listen. It might not be very exciting reading, but it's information. And once you get this information, you're going to understand the 10th chapter a lot better if you receive the 8th chapter. 8 times God mentioned Aaron and his 2 sons here. And so I want you to see it because right here is where everything Moses did, he got an order for it. And I look at this, what these boys did. Moses made sure he paid explicit attention to what God said. And these boys, they acted without any concern for authority. Almost like they didn't know what they were doing. Almost like they were out of their mind. I'm trying to figure out. And sometimes people do things in ministry. They say, what in the world are they doing? Are they out of their mind? Don't they know they can't? Some people get off spiritually. I don't know if you get high-minded in ministry or what. But they get off and do a lot of things. And you say, what in the world don't they mind when they did that? Well, who gave them authority to do that? It make you wonder, it make you think. So that's where my mind went when I see Nadab and Abihu after I read the 8th chapter. I said, what in the world were these boys thinking? Could they not see? Did they not see what all God did through Moses and their father Aaron for them to do this? Now, they always say hindsight is always better than foresight. In other words, experience. Once you experience something, you're not going to, if you experience falling in a hole, you're not going to try and fall in that same hole twice, won't you? No. You're going to experience that, hey, there's a hole. Dodge the hole if you can. And so hindsight always better than foresight. You ready to read? I'm going to read. You just listen. 8th chapter, 1st verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Notice who talking to Moses. The Lord is saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and 2 rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. See, God not going to let anybody get between him and his will for the people. What that mean? That mean when our apostle, when your pastor is ministering before God, before the congregation, God hold him totally responsible for that congregation, and he's not going to let anybody come between it and upset it or make it go another way, away from the way the pastor or his leader is bringing it according to his orders. I'm trying to show you something now. See, that's a divine way that God strategized a service. I watched the apostle. How he moved very careful and very slowly in the service, sometimes trying to find out what the Lord wanted to do. And war to anybody. See, that's why people get spiritual. They speak in tongues, they prophesy out of turn. They get spiritual, and you can take a whole congregation off with your super spiritual prophecy. And the Lord didn't say none of that. That's why I have people that know how to interpret the flow of the Holy Ghost. And our apostle knows how to, he's been with God so long. He knows what's God and what ain't God. He knows what moves the spirit and the move of the flesh. You see it? And you spiritual enough, you've been around the move of the spirit enough, you know when people's out of order. You know when somebody saying amen when they should have been listening. Yeah, you know these things. Sometimes people try to draw attention to themselves and it's out of order. It's out of order. And so we're going to see here that God has a divine strategy plan for his service or whatever he orders, and he's not going to let anything interrupt it. And if it get interrupted, it might look like he let it go a little while, but he's going to correct it. You see it? All right. I just thought I'd say that because it seemed good to me. Fourth verse says, and Moses did as the Lord commanded him. You see it? And the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing what the Lord commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron, he did Aaron and his sons again. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put upon him the coat and girded him with the girdle and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him and girded him from with the curious girdle of the ephod. And bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. And he also put in the breastplate, the Urim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre upon his head. And upon the mitre, even upon the forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. See, all these things keep saying the Lord commanded Moses, and God has a certain order. God did a lot of things according to the divine plan, the way he wants things done. And it's for a reason. You think God did all these things just to fill in space in the Bible? No, God has a particular, I'm going to use this word, peculiar. See, I don't always understand why God does things. Peculiar reason for doing things. Because he's God, one reason. And he knows what he's doing. And so we've got to be careful. If you don't know what to do, I heard people say, do what? Don't do nothing. And some people, they think they got to do something all the time. You got to do nothing. Just sit, listen, look, and learn. That's a good thing to do. Sit, look, listen, and learn. Because you're always going to learn something. All right. Now, 10th verse says, and Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar seven, why not six times? No, seven times. And anointed the altar and all the vessels, both the laver and his foot, and sanctified them. And he poured the anointed oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And Moses brought Aaron's son, that is, they called him again, and put, two times I read this scripture, and two times I was supposed to say this, and now I'm going to say it now. You know how many times you mention Aaron's son? You're not through mentioning Aaron's son yet. We got the whole rest of the 8th chapter, and some of the 9th chapter, you're going to mention Aaron's son. This is kind of strong what I'm about to say. But I don't care how many times God calls your name. I don't care how many times, listen. I don't care how many times God used you. He can disuse you. I don't know if that's a good word. God don't just have to have us. That's what I'm trying to say. As often as he called Aaron and his son, you see in the 2 chapters later, God put him out. God took him out. Yeah, sometimes people get excited. Their name get called. They do this, they do that. God can do without you. He'd rather not. That's what I'm trying to say. He'd rather keep on using you. He'd rather keep on sanctifying you. He'd rather keep on, but don't think God just got to use you. You understand what I'm saying? He'd rather use you. But all you got to do is stay obedient. God would love to keep using Saul as he did. But God had to cut Saul loose because Saul went against his will and his plan. So God would love to keep using Nadab and Abihu because they were already trained. You listen to me? These people were already trained. Aaron trained them. Moses trained Aaron, and Aaron trained them. And you think God wouldn't get rid of somebody already trained? Oh, let me say this now. You think a pastor won't get rid of somebody already trained? Yep, just like you do with them, you can do without. Remember that lesson. I remember a pastor told me something a long time ago. I'll never forget it, and I won't say it to you. And look what he said out of his divine wisdom. He's been trained by the Holy Ghost. He said, Ronald, expect anything from anybody, anytime. And he looked at me in my eye. He said, even you. I said, whoa, I said, I got that, sir. So expect anything from anybody, anytime, even you. You see it? In other words, if we get out of whack, if we get out of order, you know what God going to do? Find somebody that's going to get in whack and get in order. You see, I mean, it don't sound like no hoopty-hoopty-hoopty hallelujah kind of teaching. But these things keep you on the path. It keep you walking in the righteousness of God. It keep you doing what it takes to please authority. See, you men please it? No, you God pleases. When you please God, you please men. When you please men, you please God. Authority, delegate authority, and God almost inseparable. A lot of people don't understand it. That's why they're getting so much error. People get error sometimes because of ignorance. And sometimes people get in error because of their own motive. You see? Don't ever carry your own motive. Don't ever have your own agenda. Lose your agenda. Lose your motive. In ministry, you just got to die to who you are, what you want. I'm going to say this word, and your ministry. Uh-oh, so you mean I got to die to my ministry? You know what keep me going? Huh? I don't have a ministry. So what you do up there teaching? You know what my ministry is? Whatever God want me to do. It keep you free to flow, and it don't let you get caught up with no titles. Titles killing people. Titles are bringing people to naught in what they so-called, quote-unquote, ministry. Yeah, that's not my ministry. We have people do certain things sometimes. That's not my ministry. Your ministry is what we need you to do. Well, then what God called me to do? Well, I thought God called you here. You do what we need to do here. It sounds like 1, 2, 3. It sounds like military stuff. But isn't this an army? Aren't we serving the Lord Almighty? In the army, you can't. In this type of people. Anybody in the service here? Nobody. You were. You. Could you do anything you wanted to do? You could not. If you try to do what you want to do, what happened? You got corrected for it some kind of way. Give me 20. Give me, I don't know. You do something you don't like to do. What I'm saying is, you can't just do what you want to do. You can't just go take a job in the army. No, whatever they assign you to do, that's what you do. So I don't know why people think that ministry is so different. One reason is, and I know I'm off a little bit, but it's a good little trail. One reason is because you see the limelight, or what they call the limelight. It seemed glorious, but you don't know what the authorities go through sometimes. You don't know the hours. You see, y'all not Ronald Apostle like we're Ronald Apostle. You don't know the hours this man spent before God for our teaching on Sunday, for our teaching on Tuesday, for our teaching in the Bible Training Center, for our importation call. Hours and hours. You know, it almost seemed like a dull life. But no, he's called to do that. That's his assignment, just like Moses' assignment before God. And I thought of it, I said, Lord God, all that Moses did for you, Moses made one mistake and he couldn't enter the promised land. That's almost even unfair. Moses made one little mistake. God said earlier in the 11th chapter, Moses is faithful in all my house. And now Moses messed up. Moses got vexed with the people. God told him, speak to the rock. Moses won't strike to the rock. Strike the rock. People make you do things you don't want to do. But God, you know, because God is such a God of order. That God said, Moses, because of this, he said, I'll let you see it, but you can't enter it. You know, Moses was never buried. They couldn't find Moses' grave. You know why? He was so powerful and so mighty, they would have started worshiping Moses. And God don't want nobody worshiping no other man. Nobody. He's the only God. Amen. Where I stopped at? Somebody help me. Please have mercy on me, Jesus. Verse what? 13. And Moses brought Aaron's sons, thank you, sir, and put coats upon them and girded them with girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the bullocks and the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons again. His sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullocks for the sin offering. In other words, when they laid their hands upon them, the sin of the people were transferred to the animals, and they became a scapegoat for us. That's what Christ did, took our sins upon him. And Aaron's son played a great part in that. I can keep reading over and over again. But if you read this in your own time, all the instructions God gave Moses and gave Aaron and gave his son to do, but if you skip over back to that 10th verse, it sounds almost like another people here. Go back to the 10th chapter. Now, Nadab and Abihu, see, I understood this better after I read this a couple of times. And now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire thereon. They took their own censer and they took their own fire and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now, did that help a little bit to see through the instruction that God gave Moses and Aaron in the 8th? I didn't read the 9th chapter, but I read the 9th chapter earlier. That he gave them, and all of a sudden these two sons want to do their own thing and offer strange fire that God commanded them not to. You see it? God never forget that. God never forgot that. Because God mentioned that later on in one in the book of Numbers. Now let me give you a few notes today. Aaron was the authority. His sons were mere helpers, serving beside the altar in obedience to Aaron. That's what their position. That was all they had to do to extend their work or their ministry, if you want to call it their ministry. Some say we're in the Leviticus ministry. All you had to do was obey. How hard is that? It's not hard. So let's bring this home to where we are. Wherever we're serving, everybody here pretty much serving ministry, right? Pretty much everybody here. All you got to do is obey. Simple. Yes, sir. What you need me to do, sir? How you want me to do it? Well, one of my questions, when I give an order, I want to make sure I'm doing it to their satisfaction, according to their orders. I don't ever try to implement my own. I don't ever try to implement my own idea to try to improve the product. Then I'm taking credit for myself. Yeah, they were doing like this, but I improved it. No, that's strange fine. You don't improve something until they improve it. You don't change the order until they change it. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because I'm going to help you to lengthen your ministry in your under your authority. You do have a ministry to serve. Now, some people shoot me down for this, shout me down for this, and I say it and I believe it. I believe it because this is where I think the Lord has taught me. Listen to me close now. Some people think this is entrapment. This is bondage. But if God called me to do another work, it's going to come through my apostle's mouth. Oh, some people say, oh, he's not God. No, but he's serving under God, and I'm serving under him. Any transition going to be made for me is going to have to come through his mouth. He's going to have to call me to do it. I'm not calling myself, oh, sir, I believe the Lord and called me out to go pastor a church. Well, you just have to have some instructions here. See, this got to come down line. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You know, a lot of big corporations, they go down line stuff. No, well, you got to go through this chain, this process. No, I think calling got to go down line from God to the spiritual leader to you. Yeah. I don't think God gonna call you and skip your spiritual leader. I just don't believe it. Some people think otherwise, but I just believe that God's mode of operation. You might call me foolish, but that's how I believe God's gonna function. And most people that say they get called outside of the spiritual leader's confirmation or calling them out, they fail. I've seen tons of ministry fail. People so-called called to go do something, and then they leave with a chip because they think the apostle or the pastor trying to hold them back from their ministry, but he know that's not God calling them. He know that their flesh just get itchy to go do something. Because it looked popular, because it looked like it looked rewarding. They think the prosperity is gonna come through that. Oh man, apostles, I can show you 100 broke preachers, 100 broke pastors on one hand. Now, am I helping somebody? I'm telling the whole truth, not but the truth to help us God. People don't hear this kind of truth because they won't hear something else. You know? They really want to hear something else. Amen. Let me give you my next note. God never meant to let the sons of Aaron serve independently. He placed them under authority of Aaron. 12 times, 12 times Aaron and his sons are mentioned in Leviticus 8. In the next chapter, Aaron offers sacrifices with his son, helping him at his side. If Aaron made no move, his sons also ought not to move. Everything began with Aaron, not with his sons. Were the sons to venture to offer sacrifice by themselves, they would be offering strange fire. This, however, was exactly what Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, did. They thought they could offer sacrifice by themselves, and so they offered without Aaron's order or approval. My goodness. Now, you won't write the definition down because it's surely going to be on the test. The meaning of strange fire is to serve without an order, to serve without obedience to authority. The meaning of strange fire is to serve without an order or to serve without obedience to authority. Listen to this statement now. They had watched their father offer the sacrifice we're talking about. To them, it was rather simple. And so they assumed they could do the same thing. Nadab and Abihu only thought of whether or not they were able to do the same thing. Listen to this statement. They failed to see who represented God's authority. They failed to see it. And sometimes people can see only as far as their spiritual leader, and they don't know God standing behind them, and God's going to. Listen to this. God's going to say what they say. In other words, God's going to back them up. Now, we're talking about people that are walking with God, people that sold out to God. You know, God going to back up his authority. You're never going to find God going to take your side and your authority going to be wrong. Remember the challenge that the prophet made Elijah with the prophet of Baal? But if your God be God, you see, God always going to side with his authority. He's not going to side with you. He's not going to side with you. If authority is wrong, remember we read in the last lesson, if authority is wrong, like Ham, try to correct his father. Correction comes from the top all the time. It don't come from downward, upward. People under don't correct people over. If it is, it's out of order, totally out of order. You know, if you say everything you hear, boy, I'll be saying all kind of stuff. You know what I picked to say that I wasn't planning on saying? That's why some children run in the house. That's why some children doing what they want to do. And they got the authority back up, backwards. They tell their parents what they're going to do, what they ain't going to do. My dad knocked me out if I tell him what I wasn't going to do and what I was going to do. He would knock me out. I watched my brother. My brother had just come from Vietnam. And he's way back in the early late 60s. He came out of Vietnam, 68, 69. See, that was a little while ago. And he came back home after the war. He spent a year and a half in Vietnam. You would thought he saw everything you used to see. You know, and sometimes you think you survived Vietnam. I know I can survive home. And so he answered my daddy wrong. And my daddy told him, he said, ain't but one man in this house. And before you know it, boy, he leaned back and he gave my brother one upside the head. My brother got mad, stay away for 3 days. You know what that proved? It wasn't child abuse. He was a grown man. It proved that authority always stands, and authority is always right. What do you mean authority is always right? Until God proves them wrong. But my point is that people have lost that authority. They've given the authority away. They substitute the authority to satisfy. Don't never lose your authority in your home. If you lose authority in your home, it's headed downward. Your home is headed downward. Your home is headed for a fall. God had put this, there's a subject in here. Authority in the home, in the church. You see it? And we have to understand authority. We're going to get on that. Husband responsibility, the wife responsibility in the home. And we need to know that. How to properly keep everything in line. You know? And so that's the balance that God has given us. To keep everything line up on line, precept upon precept. If you lose the respect for authority, you lost everything. A supervisor on the job, once he lost the authority, the respect of his men, he has no more authority. You know how you lose authority? You lose authority by compromise. Whatever you compromise to keep, you lose. Remember I said that. Whatever you compromise to keep, you just lost your authority and don't know it. You're going to look back for it, and your respect is gone. I'm telling the whole truth, number of truth, to help me God. Authority is a precious thing. God gave it. But for us to maintain it, we got to walk in subjection before God all the time. And once we walk in subjection before God, God going to back us up all the time for authority. To have to come back to you. Sure, it might seem hard. Sure, it might seem stern. Sure, it might seem cold sometimes. But sometimes it might have to be cold. Sometimes it might have to be hard. Sometimes it might have to be stern to maintain authority. Sometimes you might lose a love. Let me read some more. We got 3 minutes. Listen at this. Strange fire originate from man. That's man's own will. It does not require knowing the will of God or obeying the authority of God. What? Strange fire I'm talking about. It doesn't require knowing the will of God. Or obeying the authority of God. See, strange fire come from doing what you want or what you seem is right. Doing what you think God's will is. They may have thought it was God's will, but it wasn't. They try to live on the principle of right and wrong, and you can't. You got to live on the principle of obedience. God don't say it, don't do it. My son, he just made 38 years old. He's married. I don't try to govern his home, his house. I don't believe in running my children's family after they married out of the house because they own men, they own women. They have their own headship to control. But he said, Dad, I just can't do nothing without checking on you for approval. I said, son, you don't have to say no, I just want to. Because I trust your opinion on things. I don't give him my opinion unless he asks for it. Right. But he said, Dad, I trust your opinion on things. That's why I bring things by you. I said, well, now, son, when you bring to me, you put yourself in a position to hear what I got to say, whether you like it or not. I didn't come to you. You came to me. And so he gave me the right to judge things for him. You know what I say? I don't step over my bond and go into his household and try to judge his household. But when he come to me and ask me for an opinion, I have a right to give him my opinion. You see it? And I am going to give him what I believe is a righteous opinion. But I don't go to him, he come to me. But so that's not only a submission, but it's honor. Are you with me? Amen. I got 59 seconds. Let me read one more. One more. I'm going to close with this one. If it happens that our service and work become increasingly dead, it is time for us to ask God to enlighten us as to whether we are serving in the true principle of service or according to the principle of strange fire. Boy, I got a lot more notes yet. But I want you to understand that last statement here, the principle of strange fire. He calls it a principle. It's the principle of doing what you think is right. And God, something God never really ordered or put his stamp of approval on, or authority never approved it. Amen? Everybody understood it a little bit?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, my class is ended, and go in peace. Somebody say hallelujah.